Live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Yes, great work, Tyler Devitt. That's the way to welcome in Jaguars Today on a Victory Friday, baby. We're making a habit out of Victory Friday, by the way, Tony, now.
Gus Keep it
Bradley.
Rolling.
You cannot lose if you're Gus Bradley in primetime, baby. Schedule us some more primetime games, please. The nation hates the gold jerseys. I don't care.
I don't get it.
I don't either, but people hate. But then again, I liked the red and green last week, too.
I didn't love the red and green. I thought last night's look, just the uniforms between the two teams, I thought that was a really nice look.
I did too, but man, you know what? Maybe we're just biased and too close to the situation.
I guess, but I like the gold and the blue. I thought that was a fantastic, just to look at it. I don't know why people are complaining so much. You want them to just wear the same uniforms they always wear? Come on. Switch it up a little bit. In the NFL, you switch it up once a year. It's really not that big a deal. It's not like you're going to see that every week. You may see them pull out a gold uniform once a year. I thought it looked awesome last night.
Look, here's what we want today. We want you guys to carry us, all right, quite frankly. All right, we know you're tired, too. Let's carry each other into a wonderful, wonderful weekend where nothing really bad can happen. Yeah, maybe the Colts or the Texans win a football game.
So what?
The Jags have won 3 out of their last 4. They've won 2 in 5 days. They sent Mike Malone and the Titans home crying. Oh, my goodness. I want to know what it was like in that stadium last night because, Tony, you cannot get it in this studio, and that's where I take in the game with J.P. Shattuck. We sit here. We take notes. We watch the TV broadcast. I could hear y'all on the radio call of all the big Jag plays. I could hear you, and everybody that I talked to, all the fans that I know I was talking with on Twitter last night said it was an incredible environment. But I want to hear it from you. What was the experience like? What did you think of the unis last night? What did you think of the game? Hopefully you're not one of these people that the spies tell us we're making the exodus because you lost faith in the fourth quarter. Now, I understand losing faith, but, man, you made it through 54 minutes of football, Tony. You don't leave with 6 minutes to go in a one-possession game. Are you kidding me?
No, you certainly don't, especially with a quarterback that has engineered 3 game-winning drives this year.
4 now.
4 after what happened yesterday with the punt return by Rashad Greene. You know, it's funny, sitting up in the press box, I get a sense for how the fans are reacting, but since it's not an open-air press box, you can't get a complete feel for what's going on in the stands. But I can tell you, sitting up there, that there was always the possibility in the back of my head. I was like, yeah, the Jags could lose this game. But I thought the entire time, and I know not everybody felt this way, but I did watching the game, that I didn't think they were going to lose. There was never a point in that game that I was like, all right, there it is. They're going to lose this football game. It was always kind of there for that last half of the fourth quarter. They could lose this football game, but I never thought they were going to. And T-Wig said what I was thinking almost as I was going to say it. When Tennessee got the ball back with about 6 minutes left and kept running the ball and weren't going to let Mariota make a difference in that game, I was in my own head, I go, Jags are going to win this game. That something's going to happen. Something's going to break for them. They're finally going to get this ball into the end zone. The Jags are going to win this game. And then Rashad Greene had the punt return. One play later, they stick it into the end zone. They get the fumble. All that momentum going their way. Get the 6-point victory. It was awesome. And for a game that we've been talking about all week long as being possibly the most important in the Gus Bradley tenure, for them to win it anyway is a good win. And now they get to face their own little personal house of horrors, which has been Philip Rivers.
You're right about that.
Because he has absolutely torched them. As I described it yesterday afternoon, you could feel the momentum growing for this Jaguars team, having won 2 out of 3. You win a game you're supposed to win on Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans at home, and it feels like you're opening the floodgates. I'm not sure there's any water rushing through those floodgates yet, but they're open now. And if you go beat San Diego, I mean, get out of the way.
Seriously.
For this football team with these young guys, you can hear it in their voice, just the way they're talking right now. the confidence that they have at this moment that they haven't ever experienced. I've been saying it all year. I just want to see what it looks like when these guys feel good about taking the football field, and they have to feel good about what they've done in the last month.
For the rest of today, Tony, I don't care about the San Diego Chargers. I just want to revel in
I'm with you. We'll talk
victory.
About it on Monday.
Do you want to talk about both victories? You want to talk about all past victories? You want to talk about 1996? You can talk about it whatever you like, as long as, well, you can talk about whatever you like, as long as it's related to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two questions of the day, possibly for the first time ever. Two official questions. We've had some unofficial second questions. The first one, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asks, who were the three most valuable Jaguars in last night's win? Okay, I think a lot of people would say simply Rashad Greene was the most valuable. Maybe not, but we wanted to make sure we got some diversity of opinion on that. And so who are your top three performers from last night? That's number one. Tony, what is my favorite game show of all time? It's quite simply Match Game.
Yeah.
The greatest game show ever created. Gene Rayburn and the long microphone with the little ball on the end. It was phenomenal. Okay, and in the spirit of Match Game, I present to you bonus question of the day. The Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Titans are so bad that blank. And we want you to fill in the blank. And put it this way, any T-shirts being given away today are probably coming off of question number two. So make sure you answer them both today. The Tennessee Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Titans are so bad that blank. Fill in the blank, and let's have a little fun at the expense. That's right, I said at the expense of the Tennessee Titans today. We got Stoffel's Prime. He tells me he's out by gate one, Tony. We've got Irish Jaguar coming by today. We've got the boys from the UK. We've got Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We have hopefully plenty of interaction with you Jaguar fans out there. Glad you've awakened today. Glad you're up.
Yeah.
I may say a lot of things that aren't really words today. It's quite possible. All right. So if you want to get on board, you know how to do it. 641-1010. That's the phone in line. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Tweet me at MD_1010XL. Tweet Tony at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Heck, even tweet Tyler at 1010XL, Tyler. And get it rolling. Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Baby, we are ready to go. Happy Victory Friday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind.
So that was Nate Burleson on the NFL Network postgame talking to Blake Bortles. How does it feel to win a couple in a row, Tony? How does it feel to win three out of four? How does it feel to win some games for the
Jacksonville
Jaguars?
Feels good. I can tell you it feels pretty good right here.
I'm having so much fun with the bonus question of the day, which is simply the Tennessee Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Tennessee Titans are so bad that blank. And there's a lot of comments about mayonnaise making the rounds right now. I was not aware. It came off as an insult, which was the intent of the whole exercise here. But I was not aware of the origin of the insult. And Batman fills me in that on the Titans training camp shuttle bus that as he put it, a Chick fan was eating mayo with a spoon right out of the jar. Classic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's yummy. That's like a delicacy up there in the hills, man. Look, what am I going to get this week? Am I going to get shoes or am I going to get mayo? I'm going to go with the mayo once again for the 52nd consecutive week. Shall we say hello to our buddies?
I always let the Tennessee jokes go.
I know. Well, you were born there. But
I was born there.
You resemble those remarks. all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean to join little old us here in the Jaguars Today studios. And, of course, we were at the game last night. We got Irish Jaguar, a.k.a. Stevie. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Are you awake?
I am. My voice is gone, though.
I don't know if we'd be able to tell. And we've got Christoph Stoffelis Prime in the house as well. What's up, my brother?
It's all good.
Is it all good?
It's all good.
Is the trip already worthwhile for you guys now?
I'll do it again. I'd more than happily do it again.
Is that the new gold hat right there that you're sporting?
Yeah.
That looks pretty sweet, as a matter of fact. A little bird told me you might have been on the sideline last night.
I got onto the sideline. Underneath the massive video boards. It was pretty cool.
Pre-game? During the game?
Pre-game.
Pre-game.
Yeah, I met Donovan Darius there.
Oh, did you? Double D's an awesome guy.
Which was awesome.
Double D, if you are listening right now, by the way, text me and say something nice about Irish Jaguar. he will, too. Trust me. Donovan listens to the program.
Darius may be the nicest guy. Like, he was such a demon on the football field. Yeah. But off the field, like the way his personality comes across when he joins us, that is really who he is. I mean, it's unbelievable how nice a guy that guy
no
is.
No doubt. Are you, by the way, are you happy with him being on the sideline last night? Or are you?
I can't say much. I didn't get in until really, really late. So.
Is that right? When did you get in, Stevie?
We arrived at the slab at noon.
Okay, but when did you get to Jacksonville?
Into Jacksonville Tuesday night, about midnight.
Tony's Irish, all right?
Yeah.
That's light lifting for him. Just an 8 and a half half-hour run-up to the game. What do you guys think right now? What do you make of the last 4 weeks?
They've been great. Three out of four is great, and the one loss was like probably our best played game of the year as well. Just a few individual mistakes is what put the Jets over us. But we're winning ugly, but we're winning.
We're winning, right? That's the important thing.
For me, it's like Stevie said, we're winning ugly, but we're winning, and that's all that matters. I don't care how it comes as long as we get that W at the end of the day for me.
No, I'm with you guys, man. And it's so much fun, and the difference in the conversation between when this team was going through that Indianapolis and Houston and Tampa Bay, and you're watching them just week after week shoot themselves in the foot, and then you watch 3 out of 4 weeks they find a way. And especially if we're a young team, and watching a guy like Rashad Greene come back last night.
Oh, that was awesome.
In that first game. And what we didn't get to experience from the stands. You know, I'm up in the press box. Mike's right here. He was sitting where I'm sitting right now, watching this whole thing go down. What was it like in the stands when Greene caught that punt and you knew he had a chance?
That was probably the most in danger I felt in the stadium ever, because everything went mental and I nearly took a spill into the next show.
for me, I was a couple of rows back from Stevie, and you got a pretty good view of how, like, what Rashad saw and stuff like that, and I thought he was going to go down because he broke a tackle at first, and then you saw that crease open up and he just hit it, and when he saw that crease open up, he was gone.
Yeah.
And it was just like everyone's like, go, go, go.
It's amazing, though, out of sight, out of mind. You forget what they'd hoped he would be for them all season long, you know, and you get him back, you're like, wow, boy, if they had a little of that over the last however many weeks it's been. Would have been nice.
I think if it hadn't been raining earlier on, he'd have brought that in, because he tried to cut it back inside and he slipped at the very last moment. And I think he had it if it hadn't been raining.
You're right about that. He tried to put the brakes on and let the defender go right by him. Any concern at that point? I mean, based on the way the red zone offense was not going, you had to think, man, that might be the worst place on the field they could possibly end up.
Yeah, that thought did cross my mind.
I was just like praying to the football gods. So it was like, come on, please score, please score, please score. Let's get a win, especially for me and him to make the effort to come all the way over.
Well, you got the bookend, man. You guys were at the game in Wembley, right?
And we were.
Yeah, you got this one, so maybe you need to hang around for a while.
They're 2-0 in games that we've been at this year.
There you go.
Are you sticking around for San Diego?
They're 2-0 this week. He is sticking around for San Diego.
All right, then we got a chance.
We got a shot. All right, let's get some phone calls going, and guys, and talk to some other fans who are at the game last night. Took it in at 641-1010. We got Irish Jag and Stoffelis Prime here with us in house on Jaguars today down at Everbank. Let's start with Rich out of JU. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Man, awesome. Outstanding.
Tell us.
Let me tell you, we were sitting there, and as a fan, you know, we saw those guys, some of these guys that were leaving, they were like, oh, here we go again. Jags, you know, this, that. And I was just sitting there looking at my wife, and I was like, babe, we're about to pull this out. And they went ahead, Rashad Greene did his thing, and it just turned out to be awesome. And I just wanted to say that, you know, to the players, hey, you know, we've been through it, but you know what? Thank you for allowing for this day for us to gloat on you guys, for our team and the city. And it's, pretty outstanding and awesome. And those guys, who made the trip over here, thank you. And I'm already going to call it that we're going to make the trip next year over there to the Cross Pond.
Love it. Rich, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. I have a feeling you will already. And it doesn't take much, right? I mean, the fan base, you guys included, it's not been an easy go of it the last few years. But all it takes, you string together a couple, and all of a sudden, I mean, hope replaces all the doom and gloom and despair. And not all of it. And, you know, Tony and I were talking about that earlier. There's still going to be people that say, yeah, come on, you're not beating very good teams here. You're not beating them by big margins. But I mean, compared to the alternative, it's been a lot better.
Well, other than the top tier teams this year, no one's been very good.
Right.
So it's you can only beat what's put in front of you.
There's been a handful of elite teams, yeah. And the rest of everybody else is kind of mucking along.
13. There are 13 teams in this league with four wins
right now,
and the Jaguars joined that group last night. They got a chance, and who'd have thought a month ago that they'd have been able to play themselves into this position? But they have.
I love it. Let's get Beth in Arlington up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
What's
okay,
up?
Or do I have to get you off?
No, we hear you fine.
Okay, I was at the game last night. It's just one of those Thursday night football that when you're live and everybody's watching, it's just a great feeling. And winning, is really good. It's a good feeling getting up in the morning.
Even though the morning comes early after a primetime game, it makes it a little bit easier with a W, right?
It sure does. And you had two questions. The first question, I think the playmakers last night, it should be Talbin Smith. And, of course, our kicker, he made all of his kick.
He did?
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
who's the third one?
Stuff? He didn't miss any.
He did not.
And the last one should be, even though I know it's the last 5 seconds, to me, I think that stop that Andre Brandt did, I think that was, it made us the winner.
Well, it certainly finished it off, no question about it. Beth, we're happy you're happy this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, Beth and Arlington. Checking in for you. What was the atmosphere like for you guys? I mean, just in terms of the intensity of the fans and everything.
It was intense. We were surrounded by guys, and there were some guys that were screaming their heads off like crazy, and I was joining in.
I could imagine.
But it was intense. And it's like this team. The crowd were like a roller coaster of emotion, as I like to say. We were hitting the highs and we were hitting the lows, because when it was at the low points, it was quiet and we were all like, no. And then defense would get a stop and it'd turn the intensity up, and then every stop the intensity would come up and up, and then when the big plays would happen, everyone was just going crazy. And the new effects effects on the board were like, when it was flashing and saying get loud and stuff, was cool, as cool as anything.
Yeah, the boards are pretty phenomenal, are they not? I mean, especially when something positive is happening and you can kind of build
up
make the
some noise. They started flashing on the ribbon banners in the gold last night. I mean, it was at night, it really popped.
Yeah, it looked good.
It looked very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Rick on the north side. Wants to answer our second question of the day about how bad the Titans are. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, Rick, you want me to set you up with this? I can set you up, and then you can fill in the blank. You want me to do that for you?
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, the Tennessee Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Tennessee Titans are so bad that
Gene Smith drafted the whole team.
There you go. Or at least they play like it, right? All right. Hey, Rick, anything else you want to add, or you just want to get a good zing in on Tennessee?
The only thing I do want to add is that once they're in the red zone, I wish they would like try to work some play action or one of those Tebow trick plays or something different than that conservative offense.
Well, I didn't like the three consecutive runs by Denard Robinson. Didn't like it when it happened, particularly the third down run. I get trying a couple of shots. He picked up good yardage on first down.
And you could understand first down because they had to play to Allen Robinson on the sideline before, and you wanted to go pretty quick, so you don't want to give Tennessee an opportunity to sub because you don't want to see the challenge flag come out. So,
call something simple.
Right. I get first down, and he gained 5 yards on first down. So now you're like, well, okay, let's run that same play. And then they did. Third down is where you want to see him try something else. I mean, with all the size that they have on the outside, let one of those big boys go up and try to make a play for you.
It's easier to deal with guys' questionable play calling when you win, right? I mean, you can sit back and go, oh, man, it didn't cost you the game. I didn't love that sequence of plays. And we're questioning, too, you got a guy who played a little quarterback in college by the name of Denard Robinson. What's Brian Walters exactly doing?
Set up so well.
This reverse. It really was. It was a fun play to watch.
Which is funny because we were kind of expecting it, because the last two Thursday Night Footballs we've scored on a trick throw as well.
Sure.
So it was like, it's Thursday night. They must be going to throw it.
Something's coming, right? And I mean, Greg Olsen, who a lot of people, you know, look, the play calling always gets picked on when you lose, no matter how well it was executed or called. But I thought it was a brilliant play call, brilliant design. Walters probably hits that thing 9 out of 10 times in practice, and he's just like kicking
himself. He's got Allen just running open.
Because he's not getting
right.
If I'm the coach, he's not getting another shot. You had your one shot at glory.
My head
there,
actually hit the table upstairs. Like, I was watching the play. I was like, oh, they had it. My head just hit the table.
All right, let's get one more in before we break here. We got Irish Jag and Stoffelis Prime here with us. Let us get to, Drew on the south side checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
What are you going to check in with? You going to tell us how bad the Titans are?
Yes, sir. You want to set me up?
Yeah, here it comes. All right. Actually, Tony, you should do the how bad are they part, all right, if we really want the full match game.
You got
effect.
It.
All right. So the Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Tennessee Titans are so bad that
they had to resort to Mike Full of Malarkey as their coach.
Very nice. You know, we had
that,
one.
That was
Rick,
actually true.
Excuse me, true. We had one this morning on Twitter that they said Tennessee Titans are so bad that they went to Mike Malarkey as their coach, and it was an upgrade. Yes. By the way, yesterday was Mike Malarkey's birthday. In all seriousness, happy 54th, Mike.
Wasn't that just a brilliant birthday present to you?
Yes,
well?
It was. And you know what? I'd like to give him a belated one in a couple of weeks as well up in Nashville. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. The boys are going to hang around for a little while. The phone lines are open to you at 641-1010. Also, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. We'll check in there. Multiple questions today from the Tom Bush family of dealerships asking you, A, who were the three most valuable Jaguars to last night's victory? And B, and more fun and more importantly, the Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Titans are so bad that blank. And you fill in the blank. We'll probably give away some Jaguars Today t-shirts a little bit later on for some of the better responses that we get. We've got Stoffelis Prime. We got Irish Jaguar. Fat Tony is here. I'm Mike Dempsey. Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Oh, happy belated. Happy belated to Zane Beatles yesterday. You got to get checked out for a concussion as a result. I don't think it was because it was his birthday, but Zane turned 29 yesterday. Mike Malarkey turned 54 yesterday. Hope he had a great one, absolutely great one, here on the First Coast. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Irish Jaguar, Stoffelis Prime in studio here with us live at Everbank on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. I got this in on Twitter from Chris Wall, at CWall914. Let's talk about that hit Paz took against the back of the end zone wall. He was out of it and stumbled getting up. Watching the replay, it looked worse for Posluszny in real time than when you saw him get up. I think he was limping a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think he hit his head or anything like that.
No, he looked like he was fine.
Yeah, Delanie Walker didn't hit the wall. It was the ground. The back of his head hit the ground really hard. Then the top of his helmet hit whatever that thing was that was right in front of the wall. But that I don't think that was it. And they tried to stay out there. Why there was no delay of game, I'm not sure.
Isn't that the rule?
It's got to be something,
it's
kind
of like an illegal substitution something. He's not allowed to be on the field.
Right.
I didn't know the officials just stopped the game.
And then they reset the play clock on top of that. Now, they had still had like 14 seconds on the play clock, so it might not have mattered if they started it there and they could have gotten the snap off. But there's got to be something along those lines. When an injured player causes an injury timeout, they've got to leave unless you actually call a timeout and use one of yours.
It looked pretty awesome on the big board, to be honest. Like, I was hoping Puz was okay, but he kind of gets up and he shakes it off. It was like watching a superhero walking out of like a melee. He just kind of shook it off, and then he just kept walking like a soldier. It was unbelievable. That dude is just yoked, and watching him get up and walk away from something like that while Delanie was still on the ground, it was like, there's our guy. Yeah, I mean, Puz.
He made a beeline to the defensive huddle, and he wasn't going to let anybody stop him getting there.
No, no. Okay. That guy that played with a torn pec, he's not coming off the field for that. No.
Shout out to James Carr at HB Jaguar who brought you down here today. I know he took that. Well, Stevie points like he's right there. I know he's right there. He's to my immediate right in the studio here. He just took a nice shot where I actually look semi respectable. But Tony, I don't know if you got cropped out of the photo, which makes it one of my favorite that I've seen this week. good shot of the boys here in studio hanging out with the Jaguars Today crew. If you'd like to get on board and say hello to our friends, our cohorts from across the pond, you're welcome to do that. If you want to talk about the game, talk about the experience, the scene that was Everbank Field last night, your thoughts on the Jags, what have you. You know, somebody brought up the one, they said, you know, Gus Bradley really blew it. He should have gone for it on fourth down. And, look, you could have gone for it on fourth down there.
You get it, the game's over.
If you get it, the game's over. I probably would have gone for it there. But the way it worked out, Gus had a strategy. He was playing his odds. He said, look, let's kick the field goal and make them go the distance, and particularly because Tennessee had called their one of their timeouts right there. Was it their final timeout?
It was their last timeout.
Right, it was their last timeout. So he knew they were out of timeouts, would have to drive the length of the field and score a touchdown to beat them. He put the faith in the defense because they hadn't been able to do that all night, with the exception of the drive where they had the back-to-back pass interference penalty.
And short yardage was working so well for the Jags.
Right, he says as sarcastically as he can.
In last night's game. I mean, Blake Bortles fumbled on a quarterback sneak last night. I mean, it was a weird kind of game. It would have been another one of those that if they had lost that game, you'd be sitting there going, what in the blazes happened?
Did you guys think there possibly was forward progress there on that play?
Well,
usually it is.
Yeah, he lost the ball about 2 seconds after he started going backwards.
Right, the whole pile was pushing him back, it looked like. Yeah. By the way, Tyler says, what's up? Oh, Tyler, so you can say hello to them yourself right there. That's Tyler back at World Headquarters over there. Yeah, it was an odd play, though. I mean, it was still kind of a dumb play on Blake's part because obviously the whistle hadn't blown.
Yeah.
I don't know what he thinks he's going to do there and try to reach it over. I mean, look, put it this way, Tony. He did have the interception. It was not a good throw, right? It was a bad decision to make that throw. And he had the fumble. The fumble's kind of a weird play. In terms of throwing the football, that was a bad throw. But you compare that to last week when he also had one interception, but he threw three other ones right into the hands of Baltimore defenders. It wasn't nearly that kind of game that he had last night. As you pointed out after the game, completed about 70% of his passes.
He did.
If that's his bad game, the way you put it, you'll take that every time.
Yeah, look, completing 70% of your passes on 8 yards an attempt, if that's going to be Blake's bad game, that's what I want it to be. You know, I want good game to be he throws three touchdowns and 295 yards, right? Like, that's what I want his good game to be. And his bad game, completing 70% of his passes with one pick, I'm okay with that.
There you go.
I personally like Blake's aggression when it comes to stuff like that because he's always trying. He's always trying to push the ball forward. Even if he doesn't have it, he reminds me a bit like Brett Favre with the gunslinger mentality. If he thinks he can do it, then he's going to do it. And I like that because it gives you hope, and he will always try and make that one play that breaks the game.
That was Loggeman's comparison, and Tony, you agree with that a couple weeks ago.
You see it like last night. There were even a couple times he's moving up in the pocket and almost throws it sidearm, you know, to a guy. And that's the kind of stuff that you saw Brett do. He would be running around, and all of a sudden he just flicks the ball to somebody. You're like, what a play. And Blake every now and then makes those kind of plays. He's also the guy that he got in a little trouble in the pocket, and he's just trying to use his arm to fling it to the sideline to Julius Thomas. And when he lets it go, you're like, no.
Right,
and
he knew it too as
no.
soon as he let it go.
And anyone who's watched Brett Favre in his career, it was the same kind of thing. He believed in his arm enough to try to make that throw. It didn't mean as soon as he makes that throw, and you watch Blake's reaction, his hands go to his helmet, he's like, I can't do that stuff to us anymore.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you see Blake on the Thursday night football on the NFL Network last night?
On the post game?
Yeah, on the post game.
I did not. JP and I, we were all sitting in here working. Yeah. We had it on, but we couldn't hear what he had to say.
Yeah, Deion Sanders asked him, what's that little thing you need to get to the next level? And Blake just straight out said, I need to quit throwing picks.
Right. Oh, no. I did hear that because they played that on the fifth quarter. Tyler's got that queued up right now. This was on the NFL Network post game last night when Deion said, again, as Stevie was saying, how do you get to the next level? Here's what he had to say.
What do you need? What do you need? What's the one other component that you need to get you to the next level besides the obvious running game?
I got to quit throwing picks. So
I like that, man.
I'm going to figure that out.
I like that. That's respect right there.
Appreciate
because it's honest.
Yeah.
What gets you there?
You know, I think having a conscience about the ball, which I do, but I think I still got to eliminate some high risk, low reward throws, you know, so I still got to be smart with it and take, you know, kind of calculated chances.
courtesy of NFL Network last night. Well, he knows it, man. And I really think he is. I don't think he's saying it because it's the right thing to say. He knows he's got to get better in that department. But the good thing is they're starting to win some games while they're they're still going to be mistakes to clean up all season long, I think, for this football team. But if you can do that in victory, that's a much better thing. On the text line, Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line from the 386, have we talked about the poor officiating last night? No, because you don't do that when you win.
You won.
There were some horrendous, horrendous calls last night. But you overcame them, right? And that's just another thing you're going to have to deal with from time to time.
Honestly, the pass interference on Aaron Colvin down the field trying to defend Harry Douglas, like when I watched the play live, I was like, dang it.
Right.
He pinned his arm. And then you watch the replay, and it's like, that's a veteran receiver knowing where the officials are in the field and making it look for the world like that's what he did.
Right.
And from the official's perspective, that's what you see, is the defensive back pinning his arm. Even if he never did, it just looked that way so much live. And on the first replay I saw, I was like, yep, yep. It was the third angle when I saw it. I was like, oh, he didn't grab him. That sucks. You know, but from the official's perspective, it's a bad call, but it's one I understand why they made it.
Yeah, look, in the end, when you win, bad calls, let them wash out, because they tend to even out over the course of a season. You're going to get some that go your way.
Sure.
Such as last week when there were a good no call last week.
All
right?
The face masks belong to the Jags.
That's right.
Another one
last night. Another, absolutely, man. Are you kidding me? Let's get some phone calls here at 641-1010. Darren going to check in next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, guys. Electric last night is the only way to describe it. It was just awesome. If you didn't stay till the end, shame on you, because you missed the best. Absolutely, just it was electrifying. And by the way, I do know how bad the Titans are.
All right, you want me to set you up for this one?
Give me a good setup.
All right, here we go. The Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Titans are so bad that
I am going to take them 54 Publix paper grocery sacks in 2 weeks and go to the Nashville Tennessee Titan game on Sunday. 53 for the active players, because we're swapping out their helmets for the paper sacks, and one for Mike Mularkey for his 54th birthday.
I had a feeling that's how they'd be distributed too, Darren. Well played, sir. Thank you for the call. That's how you play the game.
But
here
there is
this
one
morning.
Thing. Mularkey will have all those paper bags all lined up in nice, neat rows.
Somebody knows his Jaguars and Mike
does.
Mularkey. Very well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, if Jaguars fans had forgotten what it looks like to watch a coach coach in a game that is just scared to death to lose.
Hey, guys, we got 18 minutes left. Let's
you
see if
saw
we can,
it last
just run
night.
This up the gut.
That was just a team that was scared to lose, and the Tennessee Titans played it out that way, and I kept waiting on the Jags to push them a little bit. They were waiting to be toppled, and they finally did with the green punt return.
All right, let's get Sean in Arlington next up here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple things. First, this is not my real voice. I got blown out last night.
Good.
I know that feeling.
We all did.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Second, I'm a season ticket holder. I sit right above the S on the end zone where that punt return was heading. And I don't know what happened to me, but apparently they said that I went superhuman and I met him at the end zone. I jumped out of my seat. I ran down there, and the next play, they scored right in front of me. Unbelievable. The one thing I got to say about our fans, guys, when we lose, we kind of go, okay, we lost. But when we win, every game is like we won the Super Bowl, and that's what I love. It's like a Super Bowl every time we win.
That's cool, man. You know, I hope it'd be nice, I guess, in a sense, to get to the point where you're cynical, where you're like the Patriots because you've had that much success, where you're just
right.
Like, yeah, all right, come on. We beat the Titans again and again and again and again. But in the meantime, right?
You're not there yet.
Until they win a Super Bowl, revel in every single victory that you can get, particularly until they start stacking together some 10-win seasons here, right? I mean, come on.
Well, for me, when we start doing that, that's when all the bandwagons are going to come start jumping on. And
that's
stuff
fine.
Like.
You know what? Shad likes those guys too. All right.
Yeah. Well, I personally, from my seat, I saw one guy wearing a Tom Brady jersey. I saw one guy wearing a Troy Polamalu jersey. And I saw one guy wearing a Buccaneers hat. And trust me, the guys in Section 124 were giving them a lot of abuse.
That's the way you do it. You guys like the gold, by the way, the whole look?
I did. I think it would look sweet with the black trousers, though, or black pants.
That's what a lot of people say. Yeah. It's okay. We understand what trousers are.
I don't like the gold pants, but the jerseys are sweet.
Like the jerseys. Yeah. All right. They even had the like little sweat panels. I don't know if you picked that up live.
They did. I mean, they were darker.
Like certain accented panels would come out when...
I said at the top of the show, I really liked the look last night. Before we let you guys go...
Oh, they're not going anywhere. They're hanging out.
But the difference between Wembley and yesterday for you guys, how was the experience between the two?
Wembley has always been a bit sterile because there's no huge fan base for any particular team in it. It's more of a celebration of football than it is about one team. We're watching a football game where, like, obviously I'd be invested in the Jaguars, but the guy beside me wouldn't be, and he wouldn't be invested in the other team. So the experience here was incredible. Just the noise, when we went ahead, the punt return, when Branch made that sack and the place exploding, jumping around, high-fiving, it was just amazing. Like, it happens a bit like Hearn's go-ahead at Wembley. The stadium exploded for that as well, but that was more because they were excited about the game they were getting rather than they were actually invested in the Jags.
Right.
So I tweeted yesterday when I was down on the field, but even after, especially after experiencing the game, Wembley's going to suck after this.
I totally agree. Myself, I agree with Stevie because it is a celebration of football. And you will see, you've been there, Mike. You see all 32 jerseys.
It's like a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
And then there's, of course, the people that walk around with their jerseys tucked in and you just want to show them the back of your hand. But I travel down with myself and five other of my friends, and we are all fans of completely different teams. And they appreciate the Jags because they're the one team that has made the commitment to play Wembley so that we at least get a game. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they give me loads of abuse because, you're a Jags fan. And they're like a Patriots fan, a Falcons fan, a Packers fan, a bandwagon fan.
Whatever they are. You know what? Your time's going to come, brother. All right. We got Stop Prime. We've got Irish Jaguar. They're going to hang around. We've got Johnny O stopping by. A little O-Nose knowledge for you from Jaguars.com. John Osier joins us next. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We've got this state in football and the Honda drive around the NFL right around the corner. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and all kinds of guests from all over the place. Loving the Jacksonville Jaguars right here live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. This date, November 20th, 1983, John Riggins set an NFL record by rushing for a touchdown in his 12th consecutive game. That score was his record-tying 19th rushing touchdown of the year at the time, the record. The streak ended with 13 consecutive games, and Riggins went on to establish a then-NFL record with 24 touchdowns for the year on the ground. Can you smell a Jaguars Today pop quiz coming momentarily? Tony, famous
What's
birthdays
up?
For this date. Happy belated once again to Mike Mularkey. Oh, that was yesterday, but it's just fun to wish him happy birthday. 1956, Mark Gastineau, member of the New York Sack Exchange with Marty Lyons and Joe Klecko with the New York Jets in the early 80s. Five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, and former husband of Bridget Nielsen. Turns 59 today. 1957, Dwight Stevenson. This bugs me, okay? Five-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, and inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame in 1998. Offensive lineman with 87 career starts. Who's got more starts than that, Tony? The guy right above my head.
Yes,
Tony Boselli
does.
Has more starts than Dwight Stevenson, and he's not getting consideration for the Hall of Fame. Stevens is already in there. And 1971, former Jaguar killer. Remember the game Joey Galloway had against him with the Seahawks back in
what
the
90s? What was he, the White Panther? What did they, White Tiger?
I don't know. Albino's taken.
White Panther. That's what Gruden called him in Tampa. He was like, you only get to see one every now and then, but when you do, it's spectacular.
Are you telling me that Greg Olsen may have kind of vaguely stolen albino tiger
a little bit,
kind of twisted the copyright on that? All right, Tony, here is your Jaguars Today pop quiz. Okay, nine different men have run for 20 or more touchdowns in a single NFL season. Two of them have done it twice. How many can you give me without getting three strikes?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Correctamundo. 28 is the record.
Sean Alexander.
Number two on the list with 27.
Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes tied with Sean Alexander at 27. And also a 21 touchdown season. Ding him again.
Emmitt Smith. Something.
Emmitt Smith, ladies and gentlemen, number four on the list. You're going to write down the numbers here. He got 25, and he also had 21 in another season. Double ding. Double ding.
Peterson.
There you go. AP is not. There's strike one. I just told you. Whose birthday is it that did
oh,
it?
Oh, Riggins.
Riggins.
I didn't know
I
could guess Riggins.
Well, he's one of the guys. All he has 24 in a season.
So how many have I gotten? Four?
You've gotten most. You got well, Danny Thomas and Sean Alexander. Priest Holmes did it twice. Emmitt Smith did it twice. Riggins. Anybody else care to jump in? Feel free. 20 touchdowns rushing in a season. What you got? Don't peek at my screen. Stop. I see
I'm
you.
I'm not.
Trent
I
Richardson.
See you over there.
Barry Sanders.
Trent Richardson. Well played, Tyler Devitt. He knows how to play the game. Tony, striking out?
I was going to guess Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson at with 20 in 2005. Former New York Giant on this list here.
Former New York Giant.
Little fella.
Joe Morris.
Joe Morris and Ozone's in the house.
Ho!
He's on the board. Former league MVP in the 1990s.
Falk.
John Elway's good buddy.
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis. And then I'll give you the last one. Terry Allen did it with the Washington Redskins in 1996, scored 21 rushing touchdowns. This Dayton football brought to you.
He was a beast on Tecmo Bowl.
He was a beast as a goal line vulture in fantasy leagues back then as well. This Dayton football brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, 287-7756. If you have roofing concerns for your home, for your place of business, or if you don't want to have concerns, call Bob Roberts, license number CCC056797. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford has not practiced all week while dealing with a separated left non-throwing shoulder and a concussion. Mark Sanchez has been taking all the first-team reps. He is expected to start for the Eagles this weekend against Tampa Bay. San Francisco 49ers running back Carlos Hyde was going to be back at practice, according to his head coach Jim Tomsula, on Wednesday. But Hyde wasn't able to practice Wednesday or yesterday and is not expected to be able to play this weekend for the Niners in Seattle while he continues to deal with a stress fracture in his left foot. And New York Jets quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick returned to the practice field yesterday after a surgery on his thumb last weekend. According to head coach Todd Bowles, Fitz looked good in practice and he is expected to be a go for the Jets on Sunday in Houston.
Damn right he is. Go Jets, go Falcons, go Johnny O. Let's play him in.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Johnny O, how are you?
I walked in today and saw these two guys sitting here.
Yes.
You know what I said? Oh no.
Oh no. Another oh no moment here.
Said it a couple times
today. You guys are like old buddies now. I remember seeing you guys probably met a couple years ago, right? For the first time. Is that accurate?
You guys at the first London game?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, lean in. Okay. Share the mic there with Irish. We're running out of mics.
I was met Johnny O at the Hard Rock Cafe party with JP Shadrack
right.
as well.
Ah, okay. Well, he's a legend on
we go way
many
back.
Shores. Absolutely.
What'd sadly, you think, that makes him one of my oldest friends.
What time only and oldest? What time did you get out of here last night?
I think 1:30-ish, if I'm not...
We were walking. Tony and I walked out at 1:30, and we saw you slumped over your little...
So maybe 2, and then... I finished off the Ozone at about 3:30 or so at home. Oof. So it's night games aren't friendly.
Not the best.
But it's a heck of a lot better writing about it was going to be a longer night until Rashad Green returned that touchdown.
My goodness.
I returned that punt return. So, it was really one of those games where as you're writing it, for 2 hours, it was a much different story than what it wound up being after the last 6-7 minutes. It was, as I was thinking this morning, it was actually a game that was reverse from 3 or 4 of the games early this year for the Jaguars, if you remember. I mean, it was all of a sudden they were the team that made the couple of plays at the end and won a game that throughout most of it, you felt like, man, they're just not going to, be able to make a play to win this thing.
Right.
So, you know, I get that it's Tennessee. I get all that. But that's three times in the last 4 weeks that they've made that play at the end that they weren't doing early in the season. So, hey.
As Stevie said, you can only play the guys they put on your schedule. I mean, that's right. Who they had to play. That's who they had to beat. They got the job done. And guess what? We'll be happy with another one of those in 2 weeks.
And not a bad – I mean, it's easy when a team is 2-7 or 2-8, whatever the Titans are now, to completely write them off as being terrible in every category. But pretty good defensive team. And
especially against the pass.
Yeah, and hasn't been a bad defensive team all year. I thought the Jaguars' defense – may have played its best game of the season in a lot of respects, especially when you consider the only drive they gave up, back-to-back interference penalties, and it just felt like one of those drives where two plays went against you and you're reeling a little bit and you give up the touchdown, then you don't, and they solidified it. So I thought the call on Aaron Colvin, talking to him after the game, wasn't a big fan of the call.
Nah, I could imagine.
And I mean, he wasn't in a mode where he was calling people over to criticize the officials. But as I talked to him a couple of other things, and said, hey, what about the call? And he was like, you know, I don't know what I'd done differently. You know, and he said he was told, I don't think by an official, but by somebody else, that it was clearly a blown call. And he didn't feel like he did anything wrong with it. He wasn't trying to criticize the officials, but he was just like, man, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, pretty matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else I'd have done.
Here's the thing to me that one of the many things that stood out.
And big play by him late in the game, too.
Big play, you know, he gets the sack, but Roy Miller creates that sack, right?
Yeah.
Talvin Smith is all over the place. He's stopping guys short of the sticks. Jonathan Cyprian's coming up, stopping guys. I mean, key tackles.
Two or three pretty decent games in a row for Sip.
I agree with you. And you've got that going on. You've got House. Now, look, all these guys gave up a few plays somewhere along the way as well.
The NFL.
Exactly. House with the strip. And the recovery of that ball, a couple pass breakups. You had a lot of guys to choose from on that side of the football. Allen Robinson coming up big on offense.
Odrick, I mean, Jared Odrick.
Just another one, right.
Is a guy that, you know, people love sacks in the defensive line. So you get emails every now and then, what's wrong with Odrick, what's wrong with Odrick. You know, there's some reason that they're a pretty good run defense. And Odrick's a big reason for that. And he's made... He's on pace, what? He's got three sacks. It probably comes out to five.
Five or six, yeah.
Strong side defensive end.
That's not supposed to be his forte.
Yeah.
That's not his role. And really, making tackles is not supposed to be his role as much as it is occupying blockers on the offensive line. The point being that there were so many contributions to so many guys. Mm-hmm. We sat there and we said, you know what, maybe Rashad Green's the player of the game because he had the biggest play in the game. And certainly, I don't know if they win without that play.
Right.
But there were so many candidates last night where you felt like it wasn't, oh, it's clearly him and everybody else kind of stunk and he saved us. And there were 8 to 10 guys and probably a lot of other unsung guys. I mean, Armbrister, small play, but the hit he put on Supernaw before House was able to dislodge it kind of slowed him up, jostled it. He had to re-grab it. I mean, little things like that. Guys were making an impact last night. It's good to see.
Yeah, I chose Rashad Green simply because, you know, until that play – you really watched that game, and I didn't think they were going to win until that play. Even with field position at that point, they had, I forget what the stat was, I think they were in Tennessee territory 8 times and scored 1 touchdown. To that point, I think they had been in 6 and not gotten in the end zone. So, you know, I just wasn't very confident that even if they got inside Tennessee territory, the way they had been going, it didn't feel like, you know, it was going to be tough to get 2 field goals at that point.
Sure.
I didn't have much faith in a touchdown. And then all of a sudden when Rashad Green turned, you know, you think momentum doesn't matter. When Rashad Green returned it, I was pretty confident they were going to score a touchdown. Just because you felt the energy, you felt, and sure enough, they did. So.
By the way, if anyone wants to understand something about Julius Thomas, is he any good? The savvy move that I don't know how many people picked up on this. Derek Morgan, they're trying to guard him with a defensive end, first of all, or outside linebacker kind of hybrid. He doesn't have much of a chance. But he pushed off, the way he did it was he pushed off with his shoulder.
Yeah.
He never extended his arms. It was such a savvy little move that goes unnoticed, and it got him wide open.
Right.
And he's probably run that play I don't know how many times in Denver. And, you know, look, I don't have any question about the guy's talent, okay?
Right.
But it's just amazing to me, Tony. We get so many calls because he hasn't produced that this guy's a bust. He's not going to be back next year. Crazy stuff like
that. He'll be back next year.
Trust me. Someone
actually said that earlier
this
week.
Me.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff you
I'll
get
go out
from.
On a limb and say I'm probably right.
I'm pretty
Julius
confident
Thomas
in that one,
NTA.
Too. But I just love the way he got open. If you go back and watch that play, look at him dip his left shoulder right
into Morgan.
Well,
he also had a couple of things last night, not down the field, and I got the impression that maybe a little cautious at times by Blake not wanting to throw a pick after a lot of near misses last week. But Julius Thomas, a couple of times last night, did those things. He got some separation. They were going toward the end where Tennessee eventually was going at the end of the game. But Julius Thomas got enough separation and got a fairly easy first down for Bortles with an easy throw. That's what you want out of him. Whatever the yards are, whatever that thing, you want those plays where he makes things easy on the quarterback, where he's a safety valve. I had said all offseason, I thought he was in a tough situation because no matter what he did, I didn't think he was going to have 12 touchdowns and be the dynamic presence in the red zone they had been in Denver, because Peyton in the last couple of years was one of the greatest red zone quarterbacks of all time in terms of being able to change plays at the line of scrimmage and do those things. Bortles isn't there yet to completely take advantage of Julius, but I think he'll grow into that, and I certainly thought last night Julius Thomas had his biggest impact, even taking away the touchdown against Houston. Last night he got them the things that they wanted when they paid for him.
And I think it's something we can talk about in a moment because we need to step aside, but it's not only encouraging to see a game where you have 10 or 11 guys that you could have given a game ball to, it's even more encouraging to me that the names that we're talking about, potentially that could be the game ball guy, that it is a guy like Cyprian, that you're finally talking about having those kind of impacts within a game. It's the young guys that we were saying they have to grow up. It's year three. We have to see this growth start paying off for this football team. It appears in the last month that's starting to come in, that we're watching a bunch of the young guns on this team grow up in front of our eyes together.
Well, and are you surprised ever when A-Rob wins a jump ball?
No.
Again?
No.
As long as he tries to use his hands, right? Yeah. I mean, as long as you don't let it get to his body.
Well, on a jump ball, you're...
Well,
he's 6'3" and can jump out of the building.
Jump up and try to pin it against his chest a few times, but that one, he had no choice. I mean, the guy's 6'3", and like Tony said, he's got a 40-inch vertical, whatever, and if he's going to high point, forget it.
First couple of times he does it, you think, well, can we count on that going forward? At this point, when it happens every game, bank it.
You going to hang around? What are you going to do?
Sure, why not?
All right, we'll hang out with Johnny O and the boys from across the pond here. Stoffless Prime, Irish Jaguar here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Back with your phone calls at 641-1010 in a moment on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
I don't know if you noticed or not, Mike. You were distracting your computer.
I was listening.
We got a couple of pros over here.
We do.
I look over. He's adjusting the mic.
Right.
For height.
No, trust me.
He's in.
They know. They've got a little bit of radio, man. And
he's doing this with the twist at the bottom and adjusting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's really you're not really adjusting.
No, you're not doing anything.
It's more a comfort level
good.
Thing. Absolutely.
He saw it on a TV show.
You grip the mic. Right, I'm with you, man. You guys go back home. Don't take my job. Stop it. All right.
We watch a lot of Jaguars.com with JP and Ocean.
That must be what it is. John is a veteran mic gripper. By the way, what do you have coming up? What will you? I take it you have Sunday off, right?
You're
going to do a mailbag on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll be doing the Ozone. On Saturday morning, we'll do what we learned. And then today, Gus Bradley conference call, and just talking Jags.
Talking Jags.
That's what we do on the site once in a while, Mike.
Victorious Jags. That's what we should try that out sometime on this program. Let's get a couple calls in here, and let's see who's been hanging on the longest. 641-1010, the number. Harold on the west side is back. Good morning, Harold. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
We're good. Are you going to tell us why the Titans are bad?
I'm going to tell you. I think I've got a pretty good one here.
All right, let's set you up, okay? The Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Tennessee Titans are so bad that
they let a rookie almost return a punt for a touchdown late in the game. He almost took it to the house when last week he was watching the game at home from his house.
All right, there you go. We'll take that. You know, a little sedentary lifestyle these days or recently for Rashad Green. But, man, I'm telling you, I watched probably every game he played or 90-plus percent of the games he played in college. He looks faster every time I see him. I'm telling you, the burst he's got on some of these punt returns, it was quite evident last night. And, John, you just wonder what could have been. You know, maybe one play here or there, you know, in the absence, could have turned a game around.
Yeah, you catch the punt against the Jets.
Catch a punt against
the Jets. Hand, and if you think back, Nick Marshall had a lot of open field on that.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't necessarily after every muffed punt, there's a cut Nick Marshall email. This is a guy who was doing something he hasn't done a lot, so I don't necessarily think that it's all his fault that he had some muffs. But boy, Rashad Green looks like we've all seen punt returners who you can tell just know what they're doing. For a young kid, he looks like he knows what he's doing back there.
Yeah, he does.
And that's really important because that's why Brian Walters was in near the goal line some, was that experience of knowing sort of how to play that position back there. Look at this. More adjusting over
he's
here.
He's just jumping right in. Right. Go ahead, stop.
The one thing I noticed about Green is he's got really good vision, downfield vision especially. When he cut it back, that lane opened up, he was just – as soon as he saw that, he was gone.
I thought it was interesting, too, and we'll talk here with our next caller, who we know she's a big fan of a particular receiver. I thought it was interesting the pecking order of the receivers last night. We'll get into that in a moment, but let's go back to the phone lines right now. Harold, thank you for the call. Miss Donald on the north side, you are next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm so happy this morning. I'm so proud of the whole team. I'm not, even though that was good and what Green done, it really was a big booster. But I had off to all of the players, because all of the players contributed to this victory. Because that defense just rose to the occasion. I all had tip off to Telvin Smith, because he's a beast. You hear me? He's a beast.
I hear you. We hear you.
So good. Devon House is doing everything he can back there. We're going to have some pass interference calls. But this boy is really showing out Devon House and Telvin Smith. Those are two good. Those boys are beasts. How can we say one player won that game? And Blake Bortles, good Lord, he's doing the best he can. This team is developing so nice, and hats off to Gus Bradley, because that 4th-and-1, he could have went for it, and suppose we didn't get it, and Tennessee go back the other way and get a touchdown and win the game. There we go. Hats
there you
off.
Go.
And the kicker. I don't know if nobody's talking about what the kicker been doing the last couple of weeks. He's really coming on.
Look, he's making his kicks. And, Miss Donald, I hope you take this the right way when I say, as a caller, you are a beast. And we appreciate you calling in. We're glad you're happy, Miss Donald.
Yes,
it's nice. When you're happy, everybody's happy, okay?
Oh, yes, they have to be, because I'm an avid fan.
All right. Miss Donna, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much. She is a big. She is the leader of the Brian Walters fan club, unofficially, anyway. And John, that's what I was referring to a moment ago. I mean, look, you had all the weapons healthy in the passing game for the first time all year, and Walters unexpectedly so, I think, as quickly as he made it through the concussion protocol, but really didn't see, you know, you see where Marquise Lee is right now. He's really going to have to prove himself, because Walters has been doing that. Green has a role, more so in special teams, but for Marquise to make an impact in this passing game, he's going to have to show him something on the practice field, because he's going to have to earn his reps.
Well, I think it's nice, if you think about it, in 2013, one thing you heard as they moved on from that season was, well, Ace Sanders caught 51 passes. And as a rookie fourth-round pick, probably was playing way more than they wanted him to. Well, now there's a situation where clearly at some point they want Marquise Lee to be an integral part of this offense. But coming off the hamstring, not having played a whole lot this year, probably not ready to make a huge impact yet, but they don't have to force him into it. They're finally at the point where when they have guys who are out or guys who are young, such as Rashad Green, they don't have to force them into the lineup, because they're looking around going, well, who else are we going to play? So guess what, Mike? Depth is cool.
depth is not a bad thing to have.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
it's been a long time since we've had that.
And in quality depth, that's for sure, man.
Yeah, making guys earn it. I mean, it's making a guy like Marquise Lee, who hasn't proven to be a consistent player for this team, somebody like Brian Walters, who has, the team notices that kind of stuff. You're rewarding a guy for what he's giving you right now and saying, look, we like Marquise Lee, but he's got to show us that he belongs in this
spot. That same vein, it probably applies a little more to Rashad Greene in this case, that they really, really like him. And if you think about it, at the beginning of the season, he caught 7 passes for like 8 yards in the opener.
He's targeted like 13 times in that game.
So clearly this is a guy who, when they put their big vision board up on the wall for how this team's going to look over the foreseeable future, Rashad Greene and Marquise Lee, big parts of that. And Rashad Greene really is. But first game back last night, didn't have him in the offense at all because Brian Walters is fine. So why force him out until somebody takes the playing time away from him?
I think the main thing that they're trying to develop now is the explosiveness, the consistent explosiveness, and the speed that Rashad Greene has, speed that Marquise Lee has, and you got guys like Robinson, Hearns, and Thomas all on the field. That can be a very dangerous offense, especially next year when they're all.
It's weird when we're talking about weapons that don't play.
I know, but you know what? You can see in your mind's eye how it could all come together. And look, Allen Robinson and Allen Hearns are not speed burners, but you look at their average per catch, and we talked a lot about that this week coming into the game, 16.8, 17 for Hearns and Robinson, respectively, I think is the order it was. It might have been Robinson, Hearns, but regardless, they're making big plays down the field. Jimmy Smith was a deep threat, right? Mm-hmm. We had Jimmy on this week. Guy averaged something around 15 yards per catch for his career. So that tells you how significant that number is.
It's a huge number.
You can do it in different ways. You don't just have to sit there and run a 4-2-40 and run by guys. Allen Hearns double moves you.
Right.
Allen Robinson says double team me and it doesn't really matter. I can go up and make a play.
It was really significant last night. This is a game where things were kind of clunky for a while offensively. And you could tell that all of a sudden in the second half, they got the ball to Robinson a little more because they're figuring out this is something that we are. This is part of our identity, that we're going to be able to throw to this guy. When we're in trouble, we can count on him. Blake trusts him. So I think over the course of the season, you're starting to see a few more of those kind of things. We talked about earlier, all the young guys on defense. You're starting to see that what are the Jaguars? Well, the Jaguars are a team that has a cornerback, Aaron Colvin, who can be effective on the blitz. I mean, that's something he can do. We've seen that now. So you're starting to see, and they're a team that I think stops the run pretty well. They're a team, so as you go on, you want more and more things that now I think other teams are going to have to look at Allen Robinson and say, okay, how do we game plan for this jump ball thing? How do we game plan for this guy's size and his hands? And then once they start doing that, that opens things up for other people. Over the last few years, it's been hard to imagine a coordinator sitting there in the film room going, all right, what do we have to stop here? Well, now there's a few things that they have to be concerned about. The more of those you get, the better you get.
Yeah, you could play in the last few years. There've been plenty of times you could play man across and and send as much pressure as you want, and guys.
So now you've got Julius Thomas you got to worry about in the in the red zone, and you also have to defend the fade against Allen Robinson. Even though that hasn't worked, clearly if you're a coordinator, you look at this guy and you have to be concerned about a fade in the end zone.
Got to worry about Denard powering it in from the two.
Well,
all right, so I'll get off that. I'll move along.
If you go back to 2012, one of Mike Mularkey's favorite phrases was, "We are closer than people think we are."
Yes.
And after the few tough losses we had this season, I heard a few people saying it as well. You look at 2012's roster and you're going like, how are you seeing that? But you look at this year's roster and you go, yeah, I can see it. We are close. We just need to finish the games.
And I'm so glad that they have started to finish some, because, look, I get it. Even for the most ardent fans out there, get tired of hearing it if you don't get the payoff in the end. And anybody could see, who knows anything about football, like you're saying, Stevie, the talent level is so much better on this football team this year. But the refrain, the answer has always been, but where are the W's? Mm-hmm. They got to win. They got to win. That's not good enough. It's not better just to be more competitive. And I understand that. I really do. So for them to have it start to pay off and kind of appease that sentiment out there, but at the same time, keep themselves relevant in the AFC South.
an abundance of offensive weapons is always a beautiful thing as well. That's one thing we haven't had for quite a long time.
Long time. But you look back on the teams, the best Jaguar teams in history was loaded with skill position playmakers. And, you know, they're not at that level yet, but they're starting to build a nice little nucleus. All right, we got to take a timeout here. We will come back. Johnny O is in the house. We've got Irish Jaguar, Stoffelis Prime visiting as well in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac here on Jaguars Today. Multiple questions of the day. One of them was, who are your top three performers from last night, three most valuable Jaguars towards last night's victory? And the much more fun one is, the Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Titans are so bad that blank, fill in the blank, and we may spend the next 10 minutes reading some of the more creative responses that we got from you out there. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Tyler Devitt is along as well, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, before we get out of here, before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, on Twitter and on the text line and all that good stuff, let's get a couple of calls in. We want to take you back inside the Victorious locker room after the game, and we'll go around the table with some final thoughts here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, there's Fortunato mucking up the works in here. John Osher's in the house. Yes?
I've heard you guys talking a couple of times. Excuse me. I've heard you guys talking a couple of times about Paws in the Wall.
Yes.
I talked to him very late in the locker room, and Ryan O'Halloran and Hayes Carlon and I were over there, and just as I was about to leave, I said, "What about that wall?" He goes, "That wall's got nothing for me."
Did he really? Oh, that's the line of the week.
I saw Martino tweeted out that he asked him about what happened with the wall, and he said, "Oh, I'm fine. Is the wall okay?"
I didn't think he hit that. I mean, he had a little bit of a limp, but I thought he was okay. I mean, I was surprised Lenny Walker. Right, I mean, the back of his head pretty damn hard, man. But
he was a neat guy to talk to last night. I know we got more
Delaney, you talking about?
No, Paul Pizzolatti.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just striking. I went around to a lot of guys in the locker room last night. And if you think about it, most of these guys haven't been here to see all of it, meaning 2011, 2012, 2013. And in talking to Paz, the smile he had after that game, it was like talking to a high school kid. And he knows they haven't won anything yet. But he also knows 2011, 2012, they have been through a lot with this franchise to get back to where they're playing some meaningful, important games this time of year. And it was neat to see a veteran who, as we all know, gives a lot to this team, does it the right way, has been through it all, has been through a lot of regimes, to sort of get to enjoy that, it was neat to see.
All right, let's get a couple calls in here, and then we'll, as I said, take you inside the Victorious locker room. Let's go to Brad on the north side. First up, hi, Brad.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to say, first of all, I am happy. I think this is the happiest I've felt all season. I mean, obviously, it's been very up and down, but it just feels nice to win. I have to say, winning 3 out of 4, it's an awesome feeling. And I also want to give a shout-out to John Osher, because I'm his biggest fan.
Ah, well, there you go. Is he the one who has the Osher Fantasy League?
No.
Yes.
Is that his name? Brian?
Yes, it's...
Brian Osher, my third cousin.
Oh, is that who it is?
Oh, Brian. All right. Well,
Brad, we got to run along, buddy, but we're happy that you're happy. Thanks for checking in this morning.
I had an answer to the...
Oh, you got a Titans? Okay, all right, let's set you up. Here we go. The Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Tennessee Titans are so bad that...
Mike Mularkey's mom canceled his birthday party.
Oh, that's cold, man. All right, hey, Brad, thank you for the call. Let's go to Joe in Mandarin, I think, also wants to tell us just how bad Tennessee is. Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, man, how are you doing?
We're good. You ready for the setup?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. The Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Titans are so bad that...
The University of Alabama Birmingham football team is trying to schedule them at Legion Stadium to play in the toilet bowl.
There you go. A little homecoming affair right there for UAB. All right, we appreciate it. Thank you, Joe, for checking in. Before we get to the rest of the responses, Tony, on the fan feedback spotlight today, here's Gus Bradley and the team in the postgame locker room last night.
We believe in victory!
the will of this team, man. You don't flinch. You don't flinch. I tell you, there's so many stories. We said so, there's going to be stories that take place. You guys have an unbelievable culture, and it was made by you guys. You guys did it, and now you own it, and you keep protecting it. I can tell it means something to you, man. Keep it going now. Keep it tight out three. One, two, three.
Keep it tight.
There you go.
That's great job.
That is great job.
That's great job.
That's great job.
Yeah, that's the all-timer for Gus.
Watching that video on Jaguars.com earlier to John's earlier point, the smile on Paul Posey's face while you were doing that was incredible.
You know, look, I'm not tired of that yet. I know there are a lot
I'm
of
not
people.
Either.
I've heard it from people. This college rah-rah stuff's got to go. This is why Gus Bradley's never going to do anything. He's too rah-rah. This is a man's game, blah, 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 blah. Whatever, man. If I love for them to get to the point, as we said earlier, that they're cynical and they're like, yeah, big deal. We beat the Titans, right? Go win a couple Super Bowls. I'd love for them to be in that position where they can take it for granted, right? And because then you'd have had a hell of a ride to get to that point.
But yeah.
Until then, man, enjoy the hell out of it. You know, they're too far, or few and far between. Let's hope that's not the case going forward. But, you know, if that's what gets them going, whatever it takes, do it.
And whatever else you say about them, if the head coach's job in the NFL, which is a big part of it, is to have guys on the same page and going in the same direction.
Yeah, Charlie Casserly was on yesterday with XL Primetime, and I think T-Week might have asked him, you know, when do you know that it's time to move on as a general manager from a coach? He said, look, basically, number one thing, it sounds maybe obvious, but when the team quits on
yep.
him, right? And it doesn't sound good, but when these guys play for Gus, they love yeah. Gus right now. And, you know, that's not enough if he,
no,
you know,
it's not.
If they were to go 2-14, but they're not going to go 2-14 now, and hopefully they're going to win, you know, at least another several more.
And I say at the beginning of the season, you know, if this team's in every game, then I think that's what, obviously with some wins mixed in there. But one game this year, they've been out of it. And that's a dramatic difference in the last couple of years.
All right, Tony. Excuse me, John. Sorry about that. Fan feedback spotlight. Let's skip the MVPs from last night's game. Let's
okay.
get to the good stuff, okay?
Let me see here.
I'll give you the general setup because I'm not going to do it every single time. But one more time, Tony, here's how it goes. The Tennessee Titans are so bad.
How bad are they?
The Tennessee Titans are so bad that blank.
They hired Mike Mularkey, and it was an upgrade. They can't stop eating mayo, and that's disgusting. let me see. They almost made the Neil Diamond impersonator somewhat amusing.
So terrible.
The Titans are so bad they think a hot dog is a sandwich. Hashtag bonus question. From, let's see here. So bad they make me rather watch golf on television. The Titans 2-minute drill was so bad Mularkey added Black and Decker to his Christmas wish list. The Titans are so bad that Crayola has taken powder blue out of their crayon packs. Hashtag Jags on top. That Jeff Fisher wants to give up his rights to home field advantage. Beach bum Jag Marcus Mariota goes to Chad Henne for facial hair advice.
I was going to ask the boys here, by the way, our two friends from the European continent are sporting quite manly beards. If the Jags were to make the playoffs this year, would you guys be willing to shave it down to the Chad Henne stash? And then you could grow it back, but would you be willing to go on record right now and go for the Chad Henne? You call that, I guess, is that a Fu Manchu that he was sporting last night? What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of the handlebars, but I would be willing to... I'm not a big fan of the handlebars myself, but I would be willing to dye my beard teal.
You'll dye it teal, all right, Stevie? Can you up the ante, or are you gonna what are you gonna do?
I'd be okay with the Fu Manchu. I've rocked that before.
We'll rock a Fu Manchu and a teal full beard if the Jags make the playoffs this year, or when they win the AFC South this year, I think.
I got a tweet last Sunday from somebody when Chad Henne's mustache sort of became a thing in the first half, and he goes, "I would gladly take auto advice from that man."
That's funny. Somebody said today, too, that the three MVPs, I think they went with Rashad Green, Telvin, and then Chad Henne's mustache game. Very strong.
You can't overestimate its importance.
Couple here on Facebook, the Titans are so bad. How bad are they? The Titans are so bad that even Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, asked them to leave. The Titans are so bad that Mike Mularkey is an upgrade. We had one similar to that. Titans are so bad they couldn't score in a house of ill repute. I'll say it nicely like that. The Titans are so bad. All they want is a win, and they're sad. Their fans have no teeth, and they're mad. Their quarterback is nothing but a fad. It's all because the Jags are so rad. Moving forward, they will call the Jaguars their dad. Everbank is no longer their second home. Go Jags. Let's see. The Titans are so bad. Next week, the real Smurfs will be called in to replace their lookalikes on the field. And I'll end with this one, and there were many more brilliant ones today. Dustin Smith said the Titans are so bad, they're like Chick-fil-A. They take Sundays off. You guys have Chick-fil-A over in Europe? All right.
No.
Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Now you know. Now you know the rest of the story. All right, let's go around the table one more time. We'll start with our esteemed guest, Irish Jaguar, first. Your overall final thought on the experience of last night.
It was amazing. Just to be in the stadium and for all the cheering and the booing when the refs blew a call was incredible. And when Branch made that sack and everywhere exploded, hugging and stuff, it was fantastic.
And the 8.5 hours at the slab weren't bad either.
I know. Yeah, afterwards I was kind of suffering because of it.
All right, there's Irish Jaguar, Stoffelis Prime. What say you?
My thing is, I just want to say thank you to everyone that was kind enough to pick me and my lady up from the train station and give us a lift home last night. And a big thank you to the BCB and Teal Street Hooligans because they made that experience amazing. And to the Jags for getting that victory against those dirty, stinky Titans.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, whoever picked you up, I guess, yesterday apparently didn't pick you up this morning. Did you guys walk from your hotel over here?
We walked a bit of a ways, and then we saw a taxi.
Ah, well, there you go. It's all good. Now, by the way, speaking of taxis, if you're in Norway today, do not get in the cab driven by Lars, okay? Lars is a Jaguar fan in Norway. They're 6 hours ahead of us, and he was tweeting me at 6 a.m. his time that he was going to catch a quick 30 minutes of sleep before his next shift in the cab as he stayed up to watch the Jaguars last
Lars
night.
Lars going big.
Be careful, Norwegians. Johnny, final thought for you for the game?
What a night. I think the fans deserved it. It was fun to see it on that level because it's been a long time since that energy in the bank has been rewarded with a win. And hey, next 10 days get really fun.
No question about it. Next 10 days are a free ride, free roll, right?
Yeah.
Sit back, get ready, take
and
a shot.
They've earned the right to keep playing meaningful games, and that's the first step.
Tony, last thought?
Here we go. I mean, from a Jaguars perspective, here we go. It was that game last night I thought was the most important of the Bradley tenure because if they win it, now you have momentum going into the last six games of the season with a lot on the line, and you get three of those games at home, three of them in the division. All of it's in front of this Jaguars team, and it had to start with a victory on Thursday Night Football against the Tennessee Titans. They found a way to get it done, third time in four games. Now it's in front of them, and what can they do with the opportunity they've been given?
That's the key for me right now. You put yourself in position, don't squander the opportunity. You know, keep building on this. Don't be satisfied going forward. You are right there. Even if the Colts and Texans both win this weekend, you are right there in the mix, and we've asked for meaningful games in December. They're on the verge of playing some of those if they take care of business as best they can over the next couple weeks. And I'll just say my final thought is so good. There's so many people just doing the post game for a couple hours last night and doing this show this morning and all the tweets that we got in. So many happy people. Just a couple wins. They don't have to be pretty. It's nice that Jaguar fans have reason to be happy, no matter, you know, how long it lasts or no matter what the final outcome of the season is. It's nice that we've had this stretch going, and let's keep it going against San Diego. That's for 10 days from now. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Irish Jaguar, for Stoffelis Prime, for Fat Tony, for John Osier. Thanks to James Carr and the lovely Mina for visiting with us as well this morning. Thanks to the Jags for giving us a thrill ride last night and paying it off with a W. Stick around because XL Primetime is coming up once again. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac. By the way, catch Tony and I on CW17 tomorrow night at 11. Sunday morning at 11:30, as you're just rolling out of bed on Sunday morning, I'm sure, with your Jacks Fantasy Football on CW17, we're going to, if you want to see what disheveled looks like, get a good look, because we're heading over there to film that as soon as we get out of here this afternoon. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. That does it for Jaguars Today. Enjoy a hell of a weekend, Jag fans. You earned it. XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.